It's a tremendous honor this evening again to receive Bruce and Judy McCullum. They're pastors of El Shaddai Christian Church. I know that some of you, maybe they must just stand up and look. How many of you have been touched by them in school or in church in the past? Can I just see those hands? Bye, donkey. We have a few people here tonight that really have been blessed by your faithfulness to God. And I just want to thank you for, I don't want to emphasize age. I just want to emphasize years of faithfulness. But it does go hand in hand. Mararach, Bruce, Judy, thank you for remaining faithful to God's call in your life for so many years. Thank you for pastoring that congregation faithfully for so many years. Thank you for the faith of building a school. I know that you're part of a team and for just a family center next to that. Bye, donkey. I know that many people in Durban will have really tasted and seen that God is good because of your faithfulness. I know that some of the people in church here are friends with your children as well, father and mother of three beautiful children. Thank you for raising them in faith and in godliness. So let's just put our hands together and welcome them as they minister to us.
Thanks, Ross, and thanks for the opportunity to be here. I also just bring a hellos from El Shaddai. They're also meeting right now. And so, hey, we're one in the spirit. It all goes like that. So I want to just begin by just telling you a story of a very scrawny little guy. And not an El Shaddai guy, more like a shofar guy, you know, that sort of thing, you know, just, and he applies to be a woodcutter or a lumberjack. And he goes in to make his application there, and they look at this guy, and they say to him, you're too small, you're too tiny, you're too scrawny, you're too weak, you're never going to make it. And he says, bring me an axe. And they bring him an axe, and he grabs that axe, and then he just chops five trees down, just one after the other, five massive trees, and they just come flying down there. And they say to this guy, my goodness, where did you learn to cut trees like that? And he turns to them and he says, the Sahara forest. And they said, you surely mean the Sahara desert? And they said, that's what they call it now. And it's really around that I want to just take a moment and just share with you and just speak here. And just share with you something that's deep down on my heart. And I want to say this to you guys this morning, is that I'm really in some ways not speaking to you guys as individuals, but speaking to you guys as one of the churches in Durbanville. And you see, you know, that's our metron right now. That's where Ross and I come from that. And I want to speak about that in a moment. But we're part of the church in Durbanville. And I want to speak to you guys and just say, hey, when God looks down on Durbanville, he does not see El Shaddai Church. He does not see Shofar Church. He sees the church in Durbanville. Nowhere in Scripture does he actually say, you know, I send my greetings to Shofar Church. He says, I send my greetings to the church in Ephesus, to the church in Galatia, to the church in Corinth. And we know, like, the church of Ephesus was made up of lots of different places. And so there's something about that that we need to just get in our hearts tonight, that when God is looking here, he's looking at the church in Durbanville here, of which we are all one part. And so it's with that kind of heart and spirit that I want to just share this message to you guys as the church in Durbanville, the same message as I've shared to the church in El Shaddai. And so I want to share it with you as well. And I mean this message from deep within my heart. You see, Rick Godwin said something really, really powerful. He says, when the church loses its voice, the world loses its conscience. And there's something really, really powerful about that. Because when the church loses its voice, the whole world around us loses its conscience. And if any of you were in the prayer room that was here for Durbanville over this Pentecost time, you would have seen that there was one scripture that went all the way through that prayer room. And it's summed up in Jeremiah 29:7, where it says, if the city prospers, then you too will prosper. Now, that's a blow to individualism if you've ever seen it. That just cuts out any kind of individualism. Because you see, if you prosper, then you prosper alone. If you struggle, you struggle alone. But if you have a city vision, the city of Durbanville, and you stand as a church representing the city, if the city prospers, then we all prosper. That's vision. That's massive. And you see, this is the weirdness of God. And if you've got a twisted heart, you're going to react to this big time. God falls on the righteous and the unrighteous. That's called grace. And if the city prospers, even the unrighteous are going to prosper. Even the person that you're twisted about is going to prosper if the whole of the city prospers. How big is your heart? How big is your heart for Durbanville? That's our metron tonight. How big are you? Because if we've got something in our heart with vision and we've got something bigger than ourselves, we're going to be people that says the city has to prosper. Because then everybody prospers. And then it gets really hard to go to hell in Durbanville. Because as soon as you cross over the borders, yeah, the spiritual atmosphere is different. And people's hearts become warm to God. That's where you want to live. That's where you want to live. You want to live in a place where the atmosphere is open to the heavens, where the kingdom of God can come up and down like Jacob here. And we've got to get vision for that. We've got to get heart for that. And just before I begin and just share how we're going to do that, I really just want to say to you guys and Shofar, and particularly to Ross, it's just a privilege to have this church in Durbanville. It's a privilege. It's a privilege to have you guys. It's a privilege to be together with all the other churches for this area. And just to say to Ross, you know, apart from just being grateful to be here tonight, you know, Ross and myself and 10 other guys or 8 other guys, 10 altogether, we meet once a month on a Thursday morning from 8 to 9 o'clock. Do you know what? For no other purpose than to build relationships with each other. There are 10 churches here in over 10 years that have built relationships with each other. Now, we don't come in and we don't talk about all these different funny things. We just build relationships. We drink coffee because we believe in the area. And we believe that it's not going to be one church that's going to make this area prosper. It's going to be all of us. It's happening. It's happening. And the depth of relationship, that's you know, I come here out of relationship. It's part of that deep sharing. It's happening in our area. There are pastors, and I'm sure there's lots of other things. I just know my world. Pastors who believe in this area. We believe the church is the government of God to this whole area. And we're committed to doing something about that. We're committed to believing, but we need all of us to believe. Because God's church is the government of God, not God's pastors. They're sometimes the cork in the bottle, but we won't go there today. God's church is the government of God in the area. And if we want the area to prosper, the church has to rise up. Because you see, when the voice of the church is silent and loses it, the whole of the area will lose its conscience. Just listen. Listen to that. When we silence the voice of the church, the area loses its conscience. It's time to find our voice with a new sound. It's time to rise up. It's time for all the churches in this area to hear that voice of God again, to speak from that voice of God again, so that this area, because that's our metron, I'd love to say every area and what have you, but this is where we have responsibility. And if we have responsibility, we can do something about this. We can raise the voice in this area so that if this area prospers, we all will prosper. Every single one of us. Grab that vision. Now, I want to tell you another story just before we dive right into this message today of how. I want to tell you how this message came about. You see, I have a friend. His name is Dave or David. We've been friends, I was rudely reminded this morning, for 51 years. Okay? We were 2 when we met. I don't remember the formal meeting, but our parents met there, and we've been friends that long. Now, let me just pause there for a moment. I want to say it's a gift of God to have long-term friendships. Learn how to develop long-term friendships. those are the ones that God, there's a blessing on, there's a covenant relationships. Just pray that right now in your hearts. Just say to God, I want that for my life as well. Now here's the deal. This guy, we've known each other for whatever, 50 years. We grew up together. We went to school together. He came down to UCT. I went my own way and what have you. But somewhere in the mysteries of God, we stayed connected. And he's ended up living in Boston in the USA. I moved down to Durbanville from Durban. We kind of worlds apart, but you know, with technology, and that's the big deal here, we've stayed connected. We speak generally about once a month. You know, we just burn it up there, half an hour, 1 hour, whatever it is there. But he travels a lot. I'm going to tell you why in a moment. And so he comes to Cape Town once or twice a year. And so that's just been part of the privilege. He comes, he stays with us. We talk, we talk, we talk, we talk, we talk. We use up all our words. We've got nothing else to say after that. And it's just one of those great friendships that's really been a blessing here. Now, let me tell you a little bit about this guy, because it's important that you know. And he's a super bright Okie, you see. And he was part of mobile money. He introduced mobile money into South Africa. You know, when you go onto MTN and you shift money from accounts and things like that. That was part of what he worked on. He moved over to the U.S., started a consultancy business, has been consulting for governments in third world countries, helping them get their technology right so that they can move money around the world. Legally, I'm sure there are other ways of doing it, but he works in places like Pakistan and Sri Lanka and Nigeria and all these kind of places. So the reason I'm telling you that is this guy's on the cutting edge of banking and the cutting edge of technology linked to banking. And he was just telling me just before he left one day what he was doing. And I mean, it was just mind-blowing stuff. I can't even understand the words and blockchains and cryptocurrencies and all this kind of stuff that just seems normal to him. It's just mind-blowing and all that kind of stuff. And anyway, he's telling me what's going on, and he's saying it's all this and that and blah and what have you. And then he stops, and there was that pause. And he says to me there, he says, you know, on every boardroom agenda in the world today is the subject of technology. Is it on the church's agenda? Do you guys ever talk about that? I suddenly realized that it's not. So I paused for that moment. And his question was this: how are you, as the church, pastoring people going through this huge shift in the world? Because this is what he said. In the next 5 years, technology is going to change the world completely again. So if you think you've been through incredible changes, there's another huge shift. This is a massive shift. Forget whether it's 5 years or not, because that's actually irrelevant. The point, in fact, is there's another massive shift coming to this world. And as artificial intelligence gains traction, it's going to shift this whole thing again. Now, let me tell you something about technology. I love technology. So do you. We are not part of the flat earth society. We've got to keep right there and love it and enjoy it and all the rest of it. But here's the deal. Unless we as a church develop a voice into this reality, the world is going to lose its conscience. We're the government of God on earth. Yeah. Things are shifting. They're moving. You guys are part of that. Some of you sitting here are forming it. And it's changing because you're involved in it. And we, as this church in Durbanville, are not going to lose our voice through this season. Because we're going to be part of what God is doing. Now, before I tell you how, and I'm taking a long, long time because I need to just get this so deep within us, let me show you how intensely technology is changing this world. The whole boundary lines of medicine are shifting. For example, you'll see a quote come up. Basically, is what he's saying in that quote is, we're embarking on a time when each individual will have their own medical data and computing power to process it from womb to tomb, even to prevent an illness before it happens. And let me just say about these things. I'm not a tech expert or anything like that. I just took the stuff off the internet. So You can go and find it. I even put the website addresses there, but I want to show you something around this thing. You know what? Pharmacy. In the United States right now, they estimate that pharmacists make a 1% error per year. Now that's pretty good, don't you think? I mean, I'm cool with that. If my pharmacist only makes a 1% error with my script, that's cool. Yeah, that's something like 35 million scripts, but it doesn't matter. Yeah. But there is a robotic thing going on in California right now where the pharmacist that serves you is a robot. And this pharmacist has now delivered, this robotic pharmacist has now delivered 2 million scripts without a single error. It's technology, it's changing. In a hospital, in the same medical center, there's robotic nursing. And these robotic nurses deliver the sheets, they deliver all the supplies to the area, to that hospital area. 50,000 deliveries a month to the different wards are made by robotic nurses. This is shifting. The boundary lines are shifting. We're shifting. We're all shifting here. And if we want the city to prosper so that we all prosper, we have to find a voice. I want to speak about that. That's not the only thing that's shifting right now. Education. Education is shifting hectically. You can go onto the internet and look for Khan's Academy. And in Khan's Academy there, let me just get these figures right as well. There are 5,500 instructional videos which have been watched 450 million times. There are 100,000 practice problems that have been solved 2 billion times. In 2015, they had 10 million unique visitors each month. It's shifting. The boundary lines are shifting. There's Moodles now. There's all these MOOCs. There's all these kind of online platforms. As this thing shifts, now we're not part of the Flat Earth Society. This is good because God's kingdom is always advancing. This is good. There is going to be Wi-Fi in heaven. I have that on good advice, and it is there because it's advancing. Okay, the kingdom is coming from heaven to earth, all right? In fact, speeds should be increasing as we go along. Now, that's not the only things that's advancing. The boundary lines of journalism have shifted massively. Ask Donald Trump. He has got more people following his tweets than all the newspaper's circulation. One tweet can reach more people than all the newspaper's circulation. And you know what's so important about that? What he tweets is never fake news. And so the thing has shifted so quickly, so hugely. Not only has journalism shifted and shifting thing, the boundaries of law, the boundaries of law has shifted. Those two apps, LegalZoom and Rocket Law, those two apps are from the United Kingdom. Now, those two apps have solved something like 60 million disputes in 2015. Now, here's how they work. You see, you have a dispute with online buying. Now, do you want to go to your lawyer and pay, you know, 2,500 rand an hour and all the rest of it to solve your dispute in the UK when you're in South Africa? Those two apps have solved this 60 million times in 1 year. What you do is you register your dispute there, and it goes through a whole process to check that it's authentic, and you put in all those details and what have you, and then it spits out a solution. It says, according to the following precedents in law, this is how we can resolve this dispute. Do you accept it or not? If you say yes, the dispute is resolved at no cost. If you say no, then you can pay your 2,500 rand an hour or whatever it is. And that's shifted online dispute resolution in one instant there. And you know what else is shifting? The church is shifting hugely. Now remember what we're speaking about this evening. If the city prospers, we all prosper. Get a vision. Get a vision. Love your church. Love your leadership of your church. Believe in the local church and the power of the local church. That's what we want to shift. We want to shift the area. That's what we're here for. We want to bring God's government to earth. But the church is shifting. The church is shifting hugely. You can sit in a lazy boy at home, and you can stream the best worship in the world, and you can stream me anytime you want. And you don't have to be here. While you're sitting there, you can have coffee the whole time. In the boring moments of the sermon, and it just gets better and better. The boring moments of the sermon, you can do your banking, All right? If you forgot Mother's Day, you can sort that out with some online roses there. And you can put a reminder in for Father's Day. Even after your dad has passed away, it will still remind you when Father's Day is. And all of that while you're sitting in your chair alone. The church is shifting. Things are moving. It's moving. Where's your voice? Where's your voice? And you know what? If you think this is incredible, this is just the warm-up. This is just the warm-up. I've got even better news for you. You can buy an umbrella online now, and in that umbrella is a chip which connects to the weather report. And as you come to your front door, it senses your footsteps, and it will flash red if you need to take your umbrella with you. Now, that's important in Cape Town, eh? And if you think that's good, you haven't heard it all yet. You can now buy clothing with sensors in it. And as you put your jacket on and you walk down the street, every time you get a like on Facebook, it gives you a little hug. It just can't get better, really, really, really. You can be hugged all the way from lecture to lecture to lecture. You just post something and next moment you're being hugged all the way, kind of thing. Now, folks, listen up here. I'm making a point here, taking a long time to make this point, but I'm getting there. This is the point. This is not a season shift we're in. This is an era shift. This is the same effect as when the Industrial Revolution came in. Okay? There's a whole shift of era here. And the way we're going to bless this community is going to change, is changing, is changed. We are in an era shift. Something has to shift within our hearts as well. And so here we come now. The message that I want to say to us as the church in Durbanville, it's time to see we're in an era shift. And it's time to read the scriptures again and to see what the scriptures are saying to us of how we can bless this community, of how can we make this community prosper. I burn for this. Ross burns for this. We're sitting here. We gave our lives for this. And so have you. You sing this stuff. You say, God, I bow down. I give my life to you. And God says, I want to see this area blessed. I want to see it. And it's not going to be the pastors that do this. It's going to be all of us, every single church in this era. And folks, it's you. It's Shofar Church. It's El Shaddai Church. It's all these churches. We just got to get vision for it. We've got to get vision for it. And the scripture gives us an incredible vision for this. This is a well-known scripture, but it's a vision for exactly the era that we're in. Listen up. It says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out of by the Spirit of the Lord, and he set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He held me back and forth among them. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, the tendons and the flesh appeared on them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come from the four winds, O breath, the breath into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath entered them, and they came to life, and they stood up to their feet, a vast army. Now, I have a gift for Shofar Church today. It's going to have a little plaque in it there. It's going to be to Shofar Church from El Shaddai. I've already spoken to Ross about putting it up front here. And this is the gift. I bought it at Mr. Price Home. genuine dry bone. Okay? It's even got a name tag on it. Nando. No, not Nando's. No. It's a big chicken. This is what this scripture is talking about, dry bones. Now, here's how you're going to get your voice to shift this area. Okay, you ready? It's four ways. This is where you're going to get your voice to shift this area. This is the way we're going to make this area prosper. Number one, very clearly, that scripture says there are growing numbers of dry bones in our area. There are growing numbers of dry bones in our area. Listen to what the scripture says again. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. You're looking at them here. And this vision in here is this valley filled with dry bones. Our area is increasingly becoming full with dry bones. Now, I'm not speaking something over area. I'm telling you something about Davos, the World Economic Forum. At the last World Economic Forum, and you can go and Google these lectures, there was a whole session on dry bones. They didn't call it dry bones. They gave it a very technical name. They called it digital refugees. They said there's a growing world of digital refugees. Digital refugees. That's just a nice name for dry bones. And our communities are growing. That's what that vision says. Look, open your eyes. Before you, there's just all these disconnected dry bones. They're all in our valleys. And it's already having an effect on our community. It's already having an effect on our whole global community. Let me show you the kind of effect that it's having. This is what Rick Godwin said after the Las Vegas shootings. He said, isolation is a disease of our day. Disconnected individuals are everywhere, dangerous ones even, as the tragic incident at Las Vegas shows. Do you know that Theresa May, who's the Prime Minister of Britain there, 6 months ago, she appointed a cabinet minister of loneliness. Have you ever heard that? So there's the article, Time Magazine, January the 18th, 2018. A cabinet minister to deal with loneliness in Britain. 9 million people chronically lonely, isolated. Have a look at something else. This was also in the Time magazine, 26 out of 27 shooters in the USA come from fatherless homes. These are digital refugees. And the prophecy says we have a whole area full of them. There's so many dry bones. Now, here's what I want you to do about it. Number one, refuse to be a refugee. You refuse to be a refugee. You choose that. Refuse to sit at home in an armchair alone and watch church from a distance. Refuse to do that. Say to yourself right now, I refuse to do that for the rest of my life because I'm going to become a digital refugee. Refuse to communicate with your friends constantly through social media. Now, we're not part of the Flat Earth Society, okay? We love this stuff. We just refuse to become a refugee. Refuse to connect to your parents from a distance. Refuse it. Just refuse it now in your heart. And just say, I'm not going to do this. And if you're a parent here, refuse to allow your kid to become a digital refugee. Refuse to spend your whole time playing computer games with 100 other anonymous people and say you had a social afternoon. Okay. Just refuse to say, play the game. Nothing wrong with the game. We're not part of the Flat Earth Society. Nothing wrong with the game, but don't call that a social afternoon. Just refuse the stuff. Refuse to build your identity on how many hugs you get from your jacket because of your Facebook and say, I've had such an encouraging day. Just refuse the stuff. That's number one. We're going to be a church that refuses to connect from the armchair to God. Just say that. Believe that right now. Just say, that's how it's going to be for me. I don't care if the whole culture is going that way. It's not going that way for me. It's going to be different for me, number one. Number two, and this is all in this prophecy, become a bone whisperer. Become a bone whisperer. This is what the scripture says. It says, this is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. And then you will know that I am the Lord your God. You got to become a bone whisperer. It says this, if you will whisper to bones, whisper to bones. I'm not mad, okay? I'm happily married. I've got three kids. I whisper to my wife. But for the sake of our area, become a bone whisperer. Do you know what that means? Connect to people who are digital refugees face to face. Kiss the bones. Kiss them. Stop kissing social media. Kiss some dry bones. Connect. Bone to bone, tendon to tendon. This is intimate stuff, ligament to ligament. Get close to people. Is this a biblical thing? Of course it is. John 1:14 says Jesus came to earth and he dwelt amongst us. Do you know what that word dwelt means? He pitched his tent in our midst. He camped with us. He didn't send us a gif of camping. He pitched his tent in the middle of our lives, yeah. And you know what he says to you? Go and pitch your tent somewhere. Now, here's the most incredible thing. It's a miracle, this. But this is the most incredible thing God has ever, ever done. He invented coffee. Coffee is the best evangelistic tool for shifting a whole area. You were not meant to drink coffee alone. You drink tea alone. Nobody in their right mind goes to a coffee shop and buys tea. You don't pay money for tea. Nor do you pay for red cappuccinos. Those are just, those things should be given away free, actually. You pay money for coffee because coffee is God's way of helping you to become a bone whisperer, a coffee whisperer. We're going to change this world by connecting to people, kissing their bones. I know that sounds weird, but I'm going to start a t-shirt, Kiss My Bones. We're going to start social media memes, Kiss My Bones, Touch My Ligaments, whatever you want to say. Guys, I must stop. I got the bone. Folks, if we're going to make the church prosper in this area, it's not going to be by any other way than becoming bone whisperers. Every one of you should have somebody that you are spending time with over coffee every single week. I hope it's not one, but there should be somebody that you're breaking down their refugee status and making them a home. What did God say? He said, I will put the digital refugees into homes. He said widows and orphans, but he meant digital refugees because there's no bigger orphan than a digital refugee. And you're their home. Kiss the bones. Become a bone whisperer. I want to show you in the next part of what we're going to do is a strategy of just doing something really important in this area. Mortuaries. How many of you have been to them? Well, no, let's not go there. Mortuaries are bodies without breath. The presence of God, prophecy, signs and wonders are non-negotiable for our future. Have a look at these scriptures. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise and a rattling sound, and these bones came together. I looked, the tendons and the flesh appeared on them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to them, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and breath entered them. Now listen very carefully to this passage. If you're a bone whisperer, all you do is create connection to people. You cannot put breath in them. Only Jesus Christ can do that. We can create connections by whispering to bones, but only Jesus puts breath in them. But here's the interesting thing. Before the breath comes, the connection has to come. That's the order of this thing. So if we want this area to prosper, we get out there, we make the connections, and God will breathe the breath. But here's how He will breathe breath. Prophesy to them. Prophesy. The sovereign move of God involves you. The belief that God is going to do something in this area through the church involves you. Now, I know shofars on this side. We had some words of knowledge and prophecy here tonight. That's where the breath of God comes. To every one of you, prophecy, the presence of God, signs and wonders is part of your inheritance. It's part of the way that you're going to shift this area. That's what shifts people's lives. Not arguing with them. Not sitting and debating with them and what have you. One prophecy straight from heaven, they fall on their knees, the scripture says, and they say, truly God is in this place. And you can prophesy to them over coffee. We're naturally supernatural. They don't have to be here with the ministry team. God encounters people where they are at, not where you are at. Signs and wonders, a moment of healing, a moment when the presence of God invades your coffee and the milk starts to quiver on the top there. That's when you know God is on the move. And we sit there and we speak that prophecy in the naturally supernatural way, and the breath of heaven enters that person and the heavens shift. If the city prospers, we all prosper. And in my last point for tonight, there's a beautiful part of that scripture where it says, a vast army is rising. Then I came to life and stood up to the feet. A vast army. I want to say this to you. Is God has never worked with a majority. He's always worked with a remnant. There's enough in Durbanville to shift the atmosphere and a vast army to arise. There's no need for marriages to fall apart in Durbanville. There's no need for parents to children to go all over the place. It's not God's will. It happens. I know that. I'm a pastor, man. I know the realities of all the nonsense that goes on there. But why don't we make it hard to go to hell in Durbanville? Because the atmosphere is different. Because there's an army of people who are bone whisperers and the church is rising. Do not let the devil tell you the church is weak. It's a lie, it's a lie, it's a lie. Because the scripture says there's an army rising. I believe that. I believe we're only on the top. It's going to shift. It's going to change because we're in a new era. This new era is going to look like this. People, lots of people, who look out and see the digital refugees, who look out and become bone whisperers, who look out and prophesy, and who never lose faith for the army of Jesus that is rising. It's you. It's me. Whatever happens in your life, God is sovereign. He's not off His throne. He's there for you. Did you hear the prophecy tonight? Even if you feel like you're in prison, stick in your lane. Keep doing what the grace is over your life. It will come through. This is God. This is our God. This is what shifts our atmosphere. This is the vast army that is arising here. Let me finish off now. And I want to tell you, very, very simply, if we're going to shift this thing, now remember who I'm speaking to tonight. This is a message for us in Durbanville. This is a message for us as churches to link hearts and do something that will shift this area. If this area prospers, we all prosper. And here's the scripture. Let's break it down. We've got the area's full of digital refugees. There's lots of dry bones. This is the challenge. Become a bone whisperer. When you become a bone whisperer, learn how to prophesy. Bring the healings into the area. Keep your faith for the vast army of God rising. And just before I finish off, I want to tell you one more thing. Any of you who have ever studied church history will know this. Every single time in church history, I feel quite powerful actually. Every single time in church history when there has been an era shift, every single time in church history when there's been an era shift, there's been a spiritual revival. Every single time. If it is true that the futurists are saying the next 5 years is going to see a complete shift from a season to an era, we are 5 years short of another spiritual revival. I can't tell you when exactly, just like I can't tell you when Jesus is going to come again. I can just tell you, history says it's happening. But let me tell you something else, and this is where it gets really interesting. Every single spiritual revival in church history has been completely unique. There has never been this. You can't predict what's going to happen. You can't. Every one of them. Go and read your church history, the history of revivals. They are all unique when the Spirit of God falls on an area. You can't tell. And here's the problem, and this is a warning to you. Every time there's been a spiritual outpouring upon a community, the people who have resisted are the people who went through the previous spiritual revival because they said it doesn't look like it did then. You better keep your heads low if you want to be part of what God is doing in this area because it's going to be completely different. And here's a prophecy of what the next spiritual revival is going to look like. It says the next spiritual revival will not be like any other. It will be a, I didn't write this, eh? It will be a revival of connectedness under apostolic alignment and will result in a vast army which will arise. God intends you to be part of that. Let me finish by saying, here's a word for you, Shofar Church in Durbanville. From Haggai 2, I'm giving you a promise now. While the seed is still in the barn, before you have harvested your grain, before the grapevine, the fig trees, the pomegranates, and the olive tree have produced their crops, from this day onward, I will bless you. Will you bow your heads? I thank you for the promise of God over this church. I thank you that there is no church in this area that wasn't planted by you. You put your government in strategic places to call an area into God's government. And I thank you for your presence here right now. I thank you that from this day on, you will bless this church to be an oasis of connectedness to a dry, dying world. That they will carry a message to the digital refugees of this world of a God who's connected to them and of people who are connected to each other. And I ask you to make this church a well of revival for the sake of this community. Just pour out your blessing, Lord. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to do what you will do. In Jesus' name, amen.